Thank you, Jeff. Thank you very much for this invitation, and for me it's extremely useful outreach exercise, as I will be soon moving to Brussels, and then we will have chance to meet more often. And here today I still have only 1 hour to spend with you. The next meeting probably will be kicking me off, because I will be sitting and asking for floor and saying I have something to say more. But that's usually what happens when we change locations. At this moment, I'm still wearing my two hats, being Deputy Foreign Minister in Poland and already appointed Executive Director from the Endowment. Endowment itself, indeed, is in the latest phase of its formation, both from the institutional, budgetary, operational, and political point of view. Formally, of course, endowment exists. We already have legal personality. We are registered under Belgian law. We are NGO. We have the governing board and executive committee, and also myself being formally appointed. So at least the main structure is there. What we are doing now it's recruitment of the secretariat. By the way, this is the week where the interview for the candidates is ongoing, and we are trying to find the best people for the very small and efficient secretariat. The secretariat will be composed out of 12 people. So it's going to be very, very small, very operational one. And you ask about the budget. At the present, the budget reached about 25 million euro for the initial term. That is up to 2015. So it's about 2.5 years of operation, as we have been asking our members to declare their contribution within the certain period of time. So by default, we took this initial term from 2012 to 2015, the term of the elected bodies. That includes the Board of Governors, that includes the Executive Committee and Executive Director. All those bodies are elected for 3 years, so we consider the contributions also for those 3 years, and that's what we have now, either declared or already contributed. As for contributions, we still have some kind of setbacks and the challenges. One of those challenges, for example, is the lack of German contribution. The great country, big supporter of democracy, a big supporter of the project itself, but haven't yet found a way to provide a significant contribution to the endowment. To my knowledge, it was already even a subject of the query by some members of the Bundestag to the German government. Why is this so? So the reality is not easy at all, but we are trying to push the preparatory process rapidly forward. So we expect the operational activities to start July, beginning of August, so we can, with a great deal of security, say that from autumn on our future beneficiaries may already start receiving some funding. So starting from those practical issues, then let me continue saying that the operational model, although we are still waiting for final approval, the elements of operational model and the general guidelines are already discussed with our members, the members of the board. The process is well advanced, and the final decisions approving those operational guidelines is going to take place on the 6th of June, when the Board of Governors will meet here in Brussels. The operational model includes fulfilling initial declaration that it is going to be a less bureaucratic flexible and let's say in different way organized structure than the typical European financial instruments. First of all, we remember that endowment is a strange combination of intergovernmental approach and NGO approach. So we are not a pure NGO, by all means not. And we are not an international organization because legally we are an NGO. So this is a strange combination, and within the months and years to come, we may still see this as a challenging. But at the same time, this was an innovative approach to the certain set of issues. So this double setup makes us govern in a specific way. So we can use some privileges of being NGO, being faster and not necessarily observing all regulations by Commission. On one hand, on other hand, our governing body is composed out of member states. And although trying to be at arm's length from their interest and specific micromanagements, we still need to consider their view on different issues, including the operational model. So what are the specific solutions that we are now asking our members to accept? The first is that we ask them to accept that we are not going to announce call for proposals, that we will operate in an open finance cycle when applications are going to be reviewed as they are coming to us. So at least what we can promise is that we are not always going to fund the projects, but we will provide a rather quick answer to the application, yes or no. If we answer no, in our operation model we see two or even three types of answers. No. One is no, the project is weak, we see no value added, we see no reason why it should be funded. Sorry, come next time. Second no is no, it is too big or not specifically addressing our way of or our priorities, but we see the good value of the project, so we will help you to find another possible source of financing. So we will offer the technical assistance to help the projects go through a different possibly call for proposal, either from bilateral donor or from a European institution. So this project actually receives help, but not directly the project itself, but rather the management of the process will be supported by the endowment. And the third no is yes and no, it is interesting projects, we can finance it, but it is either too big or too risky, so we don't want to do it by ourselves. We would like to have co-funders of this project, so we will be looking for possibly co-funders, placing there already our own support in order to give more legitimacy to the projects, in order to give to share the risk with the project, but at the same time we can really support once we attract other donor that would co-finance the projects, and that is, let's say, the third option that we envisage in this in the process when we are assessing a specific application. This is the part of the operational model. Where are the thematic priorities as we envisage them? The first, of course, and it was already analyzed in the previous phases of the EED creation, when the member states, civil society, different partners, both within EU and in EU neighborhood, were trying to come to us with a specific insight where they see the value added of the new instrument, the new mechanism. Definitely supporting and registered organizations, especially in those locations where registration is an issue. That definitely applies to Belarus, that definitely applies to Azerbaijan, but it also applies to Egypt, for example, where formally you can have a registration, but the process of registration is not at all easy, and it takes time to have an organization registered. So we call this either seed money for the newly established organization that wants to get off ground, or, like in case of Belarus, the support to organization that are not even trying to register themselves, but just they cannot. So this is one of the thematic priority. We can call this seed money, startup money. The second priority is we call this bridging support. Let's imagine there is already well-established NGO in between two big projects. For several months, this organization is lacking funds because the last project already ended and the new project has not yet started. So often happens that the organization is losing its capacity, it's losing its resources, especially the human resources, and is crying for some kind of just the basic support of their structures in order to survive this period of the 6 months, because the chances to get a good money from one of the big instruments, whether it's a civil society facility or some specialized programs, are well justified, the expectations are well justified, and the chances are high to receive those money. So then we can come with a short-term core institutional funding to support survival of the organization. And that is response to the demand, because that's exactly what I was hearing, meeting people either in Cairo or in Kiev or in few other capitals of the countries that we are going to operate, that this was often mentioned as a extreme need, because these are the type of financing that comes, that no one provides actually, especially on behalf of Europe. So this is the second, let's say, thematic or operational niche and priority. The third one is everything that relates to democracy support through innovative tools. What kind of innovative tools, whether we talk about technology, whether we talk about different methodologies, whether we talk about art and culture to be used to promote democratic values, to motivate, to activate people, these are all within the very wide scope of possible support. So let's imagine that we support activities that are countermeasures to the state control over internet in Belarus. There are ways and there are projects that can work on this. So if we have this kind of projects, we may strongly consider them as very interesting in order to help a free internet in those countries where there is too much control on it. So those innovative tools, technologies that can be used for democracy support or for the enlarging the space for freedom of speech or democracy, these are definitely subjects of our interest. Then we have a group of activities that we can call across-cutting activities for political activists for political leaders. In different locations, we have a very strong players like German political foundations and others who are dealing with like-minded political groups and support them. And there is a niche to provide in between groups dialogue, creating, addressing the needs for inter-party dialogues in different locations. Recently, I've heard about a project, for example, to establish a dialogue platform between young leaders from different parties in Belarus. And that's the kind of project that definitely matches this kind of priority. Or, for example, in Egypt, I was briefed about the idea of projects to set up education platform for the staffers for the parliamentarians. So the parliamentarians can be supported with the groups of staffers that are coming from different backgrounds, but they are receiving a similar training, similar education, and at the same time we enable them to talk between themselves. So that's naturally would enable their bosses, the parliamentarians, to talk between themselves as well, to create a joint agenda. But this is just example, so I don't want to be supply driven, but just to give you an example what kind of initial concepts that came to my attention, and they really do match some of those priorities. So in a very short, I hope I have addressed the key issues. I would rather prefer to answer questions because in an interactive way I feel it is more lively than lecturing all of you, and you have much more experience than me in doing projects, and I can learn also from you a lot, even from your questions. Thank you.